It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It is here. The Tony Sands Show is here again, another Wednesday. We're bringing you the topics of today. Now, you know today is a special day around the country for a lot of high school athletes that are making their choices, their selections to several colleges. You look at Alabama, you look at Ole Miss. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ole Miss is one of the biggest surprise stories of this signing day when it comes to the college end of the spectrum. Why do I say that? Is that Ole Miss jumped into the top 10 once the day got going. They were out of the top 10 when it came to recruiting class, but they jumped in. They got the number one recruit in the country at the defensive line, one of the top recruits at the offensive line, and it started a avalanche of rolling of guys signing with Ole Miss. UM Florida State had big surprises. Huge, huge surprises. Alex Collins chose the University of Miami over Florida State. It was a tearful day for that young man and several of his teammates out at Northeast that were on scene signing their letter of intent to attend a university of their choice. Full ride scholarship. Mom and dad don't have to worry about anything. But we got that for you. We're going to get into some other surprises that happen to athletes around the country. Coach Wayne Blair will be joining the show to talk about his guys, what it took to get his guys signed. We're going to also bring Mr. Bibbs to get some insight on what's going on in the Dallas area. We're going to bring Tyler Caldwell on as he signed with the University of Cincinnati. You got to remember, this young man was the young man that was dropped by Arkansas, didn't know what would happen with his recruiting season. He was down in the dumps. Took a visit to Cincinnati and fell in love with it. Now he is a Bearcat, folks. We're going to bring James Crawford, St. Thomas standout, top defensive back, signs with Illinois. These young men and coaches will be joining the Tony Sands Show. The Tony Sands Show also will be going live from Dave and Buster's tonight. We're going to bring Julie Corona to the show. It's going to be an awesome show to bring you on the Tony Sands Show. It's going to be exciting to hear from a lot of these young men around the country that are signing to go off to school. I remember when I was signing, you know, signing day wasn't as big as it is now. This thing has grown from barely making the newspapers to now you got a whole day of it being done on ESPN, done on Fox. Local radio stations are talking about it. And this is the danger that a lot of college coaches are talking about when they say it is frightening with the publicity that these young men are getting early and coming to their universities, because they have to refocus these young men. And I tell guys all the time, it is a honeymoon ride that has a quick ending, a honeymoon ride that has a very, very, very quick ending to it, because what happens is they come in your home, they whine and dine you, they tell you everything that you want to hear, and all of a sudden, once you sign your name on a dotted line and you are committed to that university, you belong to them at that point. Guess what? Honeymoon's over, folks. Honeymoon is over. You belong to Alabama, Ole Miss, Florida, Auburn, UCLA, University of Miami. And guess what? Now, your high school days are over. You become now just one of the guys on that team. You got to man up and make the best of it. Some guys were signed today to a school, get on a campus, and transfer within a year. Some guys will get on these campuses, they will fall in love with them, and they will make the campus what it is. You got to know your fit. And the only person knows your fit, and this is why I say this, the only person knows your fit is you. Nobody else knows your fit. You got to understand, that's what I told people. When I chose the University of Kansas, people wonder, why would you choose Kansas out of the schools that you had? Because Kansas was my fit for me. And I made the best of it. Here I am. I break 17 rushing records at the University of Kansas, 2 NCAA records at the University of Kansas. I wanted to be the best to ever come out of there. I didn't just want to be one of the best. I wanted to be the best, and I set out to accomplish that. When they talk about the University of Kansas nowadays, they talk about Tony Sands, buddy. You better believe it. You best to believe it. But like I said, our show is going to be great today. I'm telling you, it is going to be a great show, because when you hear from these young men, and when we get into Tyler's story, the one thing that I want to talk to Tyler is about the ups and downs, because this is a young man that can tell you the ups and downs of recruiting. They can give you the ups and downs, the lows, the highs, whatever, when it comes to recruiting, because he knows about this dark side of recruiting. He understands it. He understands it to 101 degrees. Guys, but we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back from that commercial break, we're going to get deep into the Tony Sands Show and bring you what you want to hear. We're going to see and let you hear what these young men are doing today when we run this song. This is my favorite song because it fits today's. We're going to rise to the top. So we're going to go to a commercial, play Rise to the Top, baby. We're coming back and we're getting deep into what? The Tony Sands Show. Stay tuned.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, because Sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins, and wraps, and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment. Call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome back here to the Tony Sands Show. As I told you, the Tony Sands Show, we finna get deep. Deep, so deep that we're gonna head to Dallas, Texas, to talk to my main man that's been bringing us the inside from Dallas, from the pros to the high school level of football in the Texas area, because Texas is big when it comes to football. And I'm going to bring it to you. No other than my man, Mr. B. Bills, what's happening, man? What's going on with you?
Oh, not too much, Tony, man. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. You got to figure, man, like I tell people, the Tony Sands Show is traveling throughout the country to bring you sports. You got to figure, last week, we was on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. At the Super Bowl. This week, we're covering high school football from top to bottom because it is National Signing Day in the United States. And some teams are going outside the United States to get recruits to come to their university. What's going on in the Texas area, man, that you're hearing right now? Any big surprises coming out of Texas area?
You know, we always got some prizes up our sleeves, you know, with this high school recruiting process. What I'm hearing is that a lot of kids are, you know, changing their minds. I guess the process has become a little stressful for them, and, you know, with coaches calling them daily and weekly with, you know, different things, you know, the kids are, you know, undecided from the beginning, and then, you know, as it comes down to today, National Signing Day, they kind of change their mind and might go into a different direction. We had a couple of those kids today decide to just go into, you know, instead of picking the big powerhouse schools, that they will go to a school maybe a little smaller, a school that's moved to another conference. And, of course, you know, Texas A&M is killing the game. We're killing the Texas recruiting with their move to the SEC and with them coming off a big, big season they had this year.
Now, that's what I wanted to ask you. How is Texas A&M doing in the Texas area? And Texas, to me, appear to be down a little bit when it comes to winning the game in Texas. Because in Texas, you must win the battle in Texas in order to survive the game of football in Texas. And A&M right now, Texas A&M, is winning that battle of Texas at this point. And I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, just like I said, with Texas A&M moving to the SEC, not to mention their freshman quarterback won the Heisman Trophy this year, and with a new coach with the swagger like Kevin Sumlin, they're killing Texas as far as the recruiting process has went this past season. They've racked up a number of, you know, 3, 4, and some 5-star recruits. And last season, they only signed about 25 kids after National Signing Day, so they had about 8 scholarships remaining from last year. So they were able to go in and sign 33 prospects this year, which is going to be a big plus for them coming up season. But as far as the battle between University of Texas and Texas A&M, the battle right now is solely going to Texas A&M. That's been a hurry up for the last 10 years.
Because it was the Longhorns. Then it took a drop, then you went to the Aggies, and everybody else fell in the wash with the Texas and everything. But Texas was the big dog for a while. Now A&M have grabbed that bone and is standing on the porch, and Texas appears to have no chance. And I read, I think earlier, I was reading of some things that I think Mack Brown was saying when it comes to, Mack Brown in Texas, you know, saying that he's going to pretty much go to a fast attack type of offense. He want an up-tempo offense because he's understanding that pounding ground may not be working in this day and age of college football with the pistol and the spread. It is killing and hurting Texas right now.
Yeah, most definitely. I actually read that same article on ESPN when he was saying that he was, you know, thinking it was definitely going back to more of a fast-paced offense, which he was successful with Colt McCoy and Ben Jones when they were quarterbacks at the University of Texas. And then he switched over to, you know, more of a physical-type game, more of an SEC-type game, like an Alabama-type game, and it has not worked out for Texas. They've come up the past two seasons with, you know, mediocre records, which is not being heard of when it comes to Texas football at the University of Texas. So, he's definitely going to go to that fast pace, and that, I think that'll benefit him and his team a lot more, especially playing in the Big 12.
And that's what scares me and makes me wonder, do Mack Brown last another 2 years at Texas? Because I think the natives are going to get a little restless if Mac Brown does not come up with some type of spectacular season that puts them back at the top when it comes to college football. Not only that, but come, you know, the top in the state of Texas. Texas is not used to playing backseat to anybody in the state of Texas, and they have become the back door to a lot of schools in the Texas area.
Right, right. And, you know, with that said, winning is everything in Texas. And Texas is, you know, on a high pedestal when it comes to, you know, college football in the nation, let alone Texas. So, you know, with him coming up with 9 and 8-win seasons, that's not going to fly. I definitely think if he's able to come up and sustain a great season this year, you know, and win about 10 games maybe, you know, and take him to a bowl, if he's a bowl game,
correct,
he'll be around. If not, then we could possibly see Mr. Mac Brown eventually retiring, you know, or, you know, somebody else taking over him. I doubt it very seriously that they'll just, you know, fire him and paying him so much money. He's like one of the highest paid college football coaches, if not the highest paid football coach in the NCAA. So, you know, that would be a lot of money to dish out to fire him. But I think he'll be all right, you know, this year. They go back to that fast-paced offense, which they, you know, made their name with when they were winning national championships the past, you know, 2005, and then you made it, what was that, 2008?
Correct.
If they go back to the style of play, he'll be fine. Texas, University of Texas will be fine. But the smash mouth football, no. That's not going to work for Texas. It's too much speed out here, and speed kills, which we've seen, you know, with games we've watched this past season.
And as you stated earlier, you don't see them firing him, but I see him being pushed out at some point. We buy you out, you know, at some cost. We got to buy you out because we can't continue to play backseat to everybody else. But it's so unusual about Texas, even though they play backseat to a lot of teams right now, but they are the number one team that's grossing the most money when it comes to college football. And I'm quite sure the Longhorn Network has a lot to do with that. But for a school that is not producing championships, and for them to be, you know, winning the most, man, I'm surprised and shocked to see that type of stuff is going on at Texas. But I know, you know, they love Texas. Regardless, that brand of the Longhorn is big in the state of Texas. It is huge. And those that sells merchandise, sells everything when it comes to football in the state of Texas. Now, tell me this. And I know there's been a lot of talk about the situation with A&M. How do you manage a young freshman Heisman Trophy candidate? How do you, if this guy gets in a slump early, are you able to control this young man? What's your thoughts?
You mean by slump? You mean by him, his gameplay?
Yeah. That tends to happen a lot now.
Right. That sophomore jinx, you know, you come in your second season, you were very, you know, successful in your first season. And you come up in your second season, people have had the opportunity to scout you and figure out what you do best. Yeah, you might possibly have a sophomore slump, is what they say. Basically, all I can say is that you just got to keep this young man's head on his shoulders and don't let him get too big. Don't let his head get too big. You know, he, of course, he was the first freshman to win Heisman Trophy, which is, you know, kind of unheard of within NCAA and within college football in general. So, you know, and from what I've been seeing, he's been doing a lot of partying. You know, he's been getting a lot of, you know, I don't want to say gifts, because he comes from a family that actually has money, so he's able to buy things that and do some things that a lot of college kids are unable to do. So, which is like sit at courtside, you know, basketball games and, you know, certain things like that. But one thing I did notice is that he's taking pictures and photographs drinking, you know, alcohol, and he's underage.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that right there, I'm pretty sure Texas A&M officials have stepped in and, you know, kind of told him and his parents that you're going to have to tone down on these type of pictures. Now, you're underage. You're sending a bad message to our youth. You're sending a bad message about our football program, which you, you know, taking photographs, but you drinking alcohol, and you're not even 21 yet. You know, I don't even see NFL quarterbacks doing things like that. So, of course, you wouldn't want to see a college kid underage, you know, doing those type of things. So they're going to have to, you know, give him some rules, some guidelines. At the bottom, at the end of the day, he's just having fun. He's living in the moment. He's soaking it all in. And it's kind of hard not to. But at the same time, you're going to have to make some sound decisions about the things that you do out here. Or else you want to make a bad name for yourself. Not to mention, you're going to make a bad name for the school. So I'm pretty sure Texas A&M is going to, you know, set some ground rules for him for this upcoming season if they haven't already. You know, because I hadn't seen too much since, you know, I saw those photographs. But I'm pretty sure that they're going to have to step in and do something about that.
But that's what I'm talking about. Has he lost the focus of football and what it's going to take to get his team to compete again next year? And that could happen because, you know, Heisman Trophy guys, people understand this. They're on a tour a lot. They have to tour a lot of places. Now, with him being a young guy, it's a lot different when you're a senior. You're getting ready to go. It's just, you know, you've done with football. You can do a lot of touring. You're a young freshman. A young, true high school friend coming out of high school, and all of a sudden you get all this exposure. You become the Heisman Trophy candidate winner, and all of a sudden your life has changed in a blink of an eye. You beat Alabama. In a blink of an eye, your life has changed. You can't do a lot of things that your teammates can do. Now, do you say, Dern, I don't want this life? You can't say that you don't want the life because you got it, buddy, and that's what comes with this game. That's what comes with this game. How do you think, and what type of season you think A&M, Kevin, do you think Kevin Sumlin is going to be able to get A&M back and get this guy Young back and focused and ready to go?
You know what? Texas A&M kind of took the SEC by surprise. I'm pretty sure a lot of, you know, teams and coaches did not think that, you know, that they were going to overachieve as they did. And that's what I think they pretty much overachieved. But with the recruiting class that they have coming in this year and the players that they have returning from last year, I think A&M will be able to, you know, maybe sustain, you know, the type of play that they played last year.
Correct.
I'm not sure they'll be able to go 8-2 again within that conference because you don't really see that, you know, happen much. But with you know, the Alabamas and the Floridas. But if they are able to sustain that type of play and come in and play the same way again, then, you know, then okay. There's nothing we can say about that. That just means that they have a pretty good team and they have a pretty good coach and they have a really good quarterback. So, you know, I think that they'll be able to, you know, sustain. They'll be in a lot of tough ball games. And, you know, with, you know, Mr. Johnny Football having experience under his belt, which what he did not have last year, I really think that, you know, they'll be able to, you know, keep playing at that level that they were playing at. But it's never, you know, given in the SEC. The SEC is like, you know, that's the closest thing to playing in the NFL. And you can lose any day, even against some of the lower ranked teams. So, you know, I think that they'll be fine, though, Tony. I really do. I think they'll be okay. But he's going to have to get his head back to football. Talking about Mr. Johnny Manziel, he's going to have to get his head back to football and, you know, get back in the film room and study some more because these teams are going to come after him. They're not going to allow him to do the same things he did last year.
Exactly. And now do they say he was a one-hit wonder? That's what they'll say. The media say he was a one-hit wonder. But now I want to get into this. Every year when it comes to signing day, there's one big story that takes the recruiting world by storm, whether it be a guy faking that he's signing somewhere, some of that nature. Now, the biggest story of the recruiting year is coming out of my home state, my home city, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The young running back, one of ESPN top 150 running back, Alex Collins, was on in Atlanta and decided he had, you know, committed to Florida State earlier in his senior year, committed to Florida State and said that's where he want to go, decommitted to Florida State, was leaning toward the University of Miami, and all of a sudden he goes to do a show in Atlanta. He does this show, this big show that they have in Atlanta, and he commits to Arkansas.
He committed
to Arkansas on Monday. Chose the Razorbacks over Miami, Florida, Wisconsin, Florida State. He made his commitment during the Fox Sports South broadcast, and also he's included in the ESPN Top 150. And all of a sudden, today, as the school, South Plantation is the school that he attends in Plantation, Florida, was doing the ceremony. Mom shows up, gets the letter of intent, and takes off with it. Refused to sign it. Will not give her permission for this young man to go to this. Now, I thought, and this was, I think this is where you got to read your recruiting NCAA bylaws. I thought once she was 18, you have the right to sign, because, you know, in any other life, if you're 18, you're an adult, correct?
Correct.
And at 18, you can sign yourself up for the military. But I think there is something to that NCAA bylaw that says, don't happen like that. Don't happen like that when it comes to it. And I think you got to be, if you're under the age of 21, I think you still need your parent consent. I think you still need your parental consent. The national letter of intent, according to the NCAA official website, is a binding agreement between prospective student athletes and an NLI member institution. If you are under the age of 21, regardless of marital status. Now, that blew my mind. You heard what I just said. Regardless of marital status. Now, you're telling me, I'm a young man, I'm married at the age of 19. I still need my mother's consent for me to sign, my dad's consent for me to sign a letter of intent. That blew my mind. That blew my mind. I'm married. What if I'm married with children? Now what? So Alex Collins' mom at this point has the upper hand on Arkansas. On Arkansas. I don't want my child to go there. I think the family really wants the kid to go to the University of Miami, Bibbs. And what's your take on a situation like that?
First of all, that's one of the most bizarre situations I've ever seen when it comes to National Signing Day. Obviously, his mother doesn't want him to go to the University of Arkansas. It's a big loss for Arkansas if they really thought that he was going to commit to their program and come in and, you know, make some things happen for them, especially coming off a bad season that they came off of last year.
Correct.
But you say you have to be 21 you have to be 21 years of age to have.
You have to be over the age. Yeah, you have to be over the age of 21. If you are under the age of 21, regardless of marital status, your parental or legal guardian must sign the NLI in order for it to be considered valid.
Right. That's gonna. I really think after something happening like that happened today or like that, there's going to be a rule change somewhere. It's going to have to be, because, you know, these kids, I mean, they're able to make decisions on their own. It shouldn't really be. Now, I don't want to say your parents shouldn't have some type of take or some type of opinion on where you should go to school at, but at the end of the day, it's really based on decisions that you made, where you want to play at.
Where you want to live at.
Right?
Where you want to live. And that's what I spoke about earlier, Bibbs, when I said early in my show, when I opened up the show, I said, I got to choose a school that's best for me, because I got to live in this place. And I think, I'm going to tell you something, a lot of people don't know, this is a young man that has had, you know, some struggles in his life. he had some struggles in his life. He was in a big environment, schools. He was at Dillard High School, and it was a big environment. Then this kid leaves Dillard, goes to South Plantation, and he flourishes. South Plantation, it reminds me, Dillard is the University of Miami. Arkansas is South Plantation. So maybe this young man sees Arkansas as a way to continue to flourish and Miami as a way that he might not be able to handle that environment. Everybody can't handle the University of Miami environment.
Exactly, exactly. And I get exactly what you're saying. Like, the University of Miami, being in Miami, Florida, you know, with all the, you know, the
South Beach, say no more.
Yeah, you know, and you go up to Fayetteville, Arkansas, you know, it's more of a country type town, more of a quiet place where you can kind of focus on what it is you need to focus on. That could have been a big reason why he decided to choose Arkansas. He was just trying to, you know, stay comfortable. Stay in his means where he can go just play football and focus on what he wants to focus on, which is football. Like I said, Tom, this is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever heard when it comes to National Signing Day. I didn't read that. When I read the story about that, it just said that his letter of intent was never faxed over to Arkansas. I didn't know that his mother kidnapped the letter.
Kidnapped it, took it. He ain't doing it. He ain't going there. I don't care what you say. Give me that, and we're gone. And all of a sudden, they showed up. Alex was already there. They showed up. Mom took letter of intent. Boom, Alex disappeared. Mom disappeared. At one point, no one understood where they had. And this is a quote coming from the athletic director at South Plantation. The family was not on the same page and needed to work things out. To me, Mom, listen, I love you, baby. I love you to death. And I know you've always had my best interest at heart. But let me make this decision on my own. Because I got to live wherever I go. If I go down to the University of Miami, and this is the dark side of this. If this young man goes down to the University of Miami because Mom chose him that he wanted to go there, big brother wanted him to go there, and all of a sudden this thing doesn't work out for him. Because you got to figure, he got to go down there against Duke Johnson. And Duke Johnson is a heck of a running back. So you got to figure, Duke can't lose for 2 years. Buying an injury, because this man hit the field, he won't hit the field for another 2 years. And he's probably looking at, hey, I can go to Arkansas and play right away. I don't want to go and sit.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that factor into his decision. I know you know because you went through the same process. It's a lot of different factors that factor into your decision at the end of the day. And it really sucks for him though as a high school athlete that he has to go through this. You know, with his mom, you know, taking his letter and kind of making it's a big deal. It probably wouldn't have been as big of a deal and enjoys a lot of attention to him and his family now, you know, which can also affect the decision process and, you know, how people are looking at his family like, they must be like a dysfunctional type family that get on the same page about this kid having an opportunity to go play football at the University of Arkansas or University of Miami, Florida State, wherever it may be.
Yeah.
That's terrible, though, Tony. I'm sitting here thinking about it as you're telling me about this, and I'm like, wow. I don't think he woke up that morning really thinking that was going to happen.
Exactly, exactly. But what bothers me with the agreement, though, what kills me, you telling me he's 21, you're 20, you're married, and I still got to have my parental consent? That's the mind-boggling part of it. I can care less about the rest of it. What would you say about the 21-year age?
That's like I said, the rule is going to have to be addressed. It needs to be addressed immediately, almost tomorrow, because, you know, this kid, if you're 21 years of age, and like you said earlier, you have a child, you married, you mean to tell me I'm a grown man taking care of what I need to take care of, and I got to ask my mom or my father, whoever's my legal guardian, to sign off on this letter of intent for me to go off to school and, you know, possibly do something that's going to provide for my family in the future? Yeah, that rule right there is that's a terrible rule. They're gonna have to do something about that rule, and I mean they're gonna have to do something about that rule ASAP. The NCAA has already made different rules about they've already put their hands up, basically threw their hands in the air about the contacting the players a certain amount of time, text messages, phone calls. If they can change that, then they definitely can go in there and change this. So I really think that they're going to have to do something about that in the immediate future. And when I say immediate future.
Yeah, they're going to have – that's one thing that they're going to have to change because it's crazy. That's got to be – that's nuts. That's nuts that you would have that happen to a young man like that. I know the young man – it's got to be embarrassing to you. You go on national television on Fox Sports and you make a commitment to a school in front of the world. And then all of a sudden – your mom shows up that day and pulls your scholarship. I mean, Debo it, what I call it. I ain't say pull it. Mom Debo'd that thing and said, hey, ain't none of this taking place unless I say so. So, Arkansas, you guys got to talk to me. And I think what he liked at Arkansas is you got to understand he was liked at Wisconsin. Left Wisconsin and went to Arkansas. But let me tell you something now. Now, here go another big story of what goes on with the recruiting. I have a young man on, Tyler Caldwell, that was committed to Arkansas. That was committed to Arkansas throughout the whole process. And all of a sudden, Arkansas decides they want to go in a new direction. They get the coach from Wisconsin. And they tell this young man one day that, hey, we committed to you. We love you. And all of a sudden, the next day, a couple of days later, they tell this man, he don't fit in their plans. Welcome to the show, Tyler. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well, man. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. When I heard that you were signing with Cincinnati, man, I felt so good inside because I know you, of all people, understand what the dark side of the college recruiting war. One day you're up, the next day you're down. Walk me through a little bit of what took place from Arkansas to Cincinnati a little bit when it came to your recruiting. When Arkansas decided that that you didn't fit in their plans. What was some of the dialogue that you guys had with them?
Well, I was committed to Arkansas, and then when Coach Belima came in, I talked to him, and he said they were fully committed to me. And then about a week and a half to 2 weeks later, Coach Lima called me, and then it was the last day of contact period too, which made it even worse. But he called me, and then he told me that they decided to only take one QB in this class. And then after that, since it was a dead period, it was kind of slow for about 2 or 3 weeks or however long that was. And then when I came back, I still wasn't hearing much. And then about 2 weeks after the contact period, I got in touch with Cincinnati. And I got in touch with Coach Eddie Grant, and we had a really good relationship right off the bat. And then I took my visit, and then I came into Cincinnati.
Now, you tell me this. Tell me this now. I want to touch into your feelings a little bit here. You said there was a dead period. And that means people, when you say dead period, there's no communication between prospect and coaches. No period. Mm-hmm. Now, take me through that mentally. Take me through that mentally. What were you feeling like when all of a sudden they tell you, you don't fit in our plans, and all of a sudden now you can't talk to anybody? What was your feel? What did you feel like?
Well, the first few days were hard, and I was just trying to do stuff to get my mind off, and I really couldn't that much. But I think the thing that helped a lot was being around my family a lot. Soon after that, and then since it was Christmas break, that helped to be around people and friends that I'm really close with to get my mind off those things. But I got over it pretty fast, I thought, and the thing I did was I just kept working because I knew wherever I wanted to go, I was going to have to perform and show my talents there.
Okay, now, and you say you stayed close to family because loyalty is one thing, family is another, and family truly to me is that word loyalty. Did this process affect your vision and your view on being loyal?
I don't think it really has, but I think in the recruiting process, you have to be more open than mm-hmm. to what I was the whole time I was coming to Arkansas. I feel like I should have taken visits, even though they told me I shouldn't have. I should have talked with the coaches about that. And then when new coaches came in, I think I should have tried to be in contact with them a little more. And then, but I would say if new coaches came in to any school, I think you have to open your options up again. I'm not saying decommit, but just maybe go look around and see if, because you have to have a backup plan just in case you don't like the new coaches or something falls through, like to me.
Now tell me this. What would you leave if you was talking to some guys that's getting ready to start this recruiting process? And after that, we're going to let you go because I know you want to enjoy yourself with your family. What would you leave with the young men if you were standing in front of them talking? What would you tell them about recruiting and one point that you could leave with them?
I think that one thing you have to do is you have to sell yourself as much as you have to, as the school tries to sell to you. And then if you have any doubt in your mind about a school, I think you should definitely keep your options open and explore other colleges, and so you're not left with one single plan. If that plan falls through, then you have to wait for something else to come through.
Okay. Hey, man, listen, I wish you the best at Cincinnati. You go and handle your business, and you show the world and the nation what you can do, and that I went through that, so I know what you're going, you know, you're stuck on something, but I put a chip on my shoulder and I said, what? This is going to be the chip that I use that I'm going to show everyone that, hey, you guys made mistakes. And Cincinnati got a prize jewel and go and make the best of it at the University of Cincinnati.
Sure.
And, man, it's great talking to you. Tell your family I said, what's up? I'll talk to your auntie tomorrow, I'm quite sure. Man, hey, she is great. She is great. There's no other person to me like her. Her passion for young men is, you can't even put a word on. There's not even a word in the dictionary that describes your aunt, man. And you should kiss her every day. And you tell her, for me, she keep doing what she doing because she is the reason why people like yourself and other young men are so successful here. It was great having you on the show, man. I love talking with you. And, man, keep me updated on your success, man. And if there's anything that I can do to help you, you call me. I'm quite sure your aunt know how to get it. She can get in touch with me at any time.
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, thank you for coming on the Tony Sands Show. That's Tyler Cogwell that signed with the University of Cincinnati. But now, you know, I was trying to get my coach on the line, and we was having technical difficulty. He was working with his guys, making sure that they're right. Bibbs, what's up? You still with us?
I'm here.
Hey, man, you jump in now if you want to. You jump in at any time. Now we got our coach on the air from Boyd Anderson High School, Wayne Blair. Wayne, welcome to the Tony Sands Show.
Tony Sandman Sands. I'm happy to be on the show, man.
What's up, man? It's y'all with me and my insider from Texas, from the Dallas, Texas area that handles all kind of inside stories from the pros all the way down to the high school level. What's up, man? Give me the dirt on what's going on with your recruiting, man. How many guys you signed?
Well, today there's a possibility we signed five, and one of my guys is going to basically get a gray shirt. And to all out there who may not know what a gray shirt is, it's a year where they bring you in. They find a way to subsidize all the monies that you would have to inherit for tuition, and you're basically there, but you're not allowed to play for that season. It's just basically a year to get your academics up to par, up to standard.
Now you say that not allowed. You say not allowed.
I mean, you.
They're not allowed to play. They're not allowed to practice or nothing.
Well, they practice, but they don't practice with the squad, if that makes any sense.
Well, okay, so they'll practice with the, pretty much, I think from what you're saying, they'll practice with the strength coach, but once it goes to the field stuff, They can play, do they do the running stuff with the team, or do they all that is separate to where the strength coaches take them at a separate point in time and work with them?
Yeah, they're separated. They're pretty much separated. It's that year. I mean, that year is geared towards just straight academics, you know, for the most part. Of course, you know, they're going to continue to chisel a finely tuned athletic machine, of course.
Now, tell me this. Give me some of where some of your guys are going. People are probably wondering where did some of the guys sign? What's some of the schools that you guys signed to?
Well, Darrell Young, Sackmaster, state of Florida. He's headed to Western Kentucky University, the Hilltoppers. Coach Lamar Thomas and Coach Cassidy were responsible for recruiting him. Coach Petrino over there now at Western Kentucky is, you know, he's getting himself a stockpile of guys from out of the state of Florida, and they're looking to do some tremendous things over there in the Sun Belt Conference.
Correct.
My next guy is Justin McDonald, linebacker. He decided to sign with University of Central Florida. And the coach that basically came down and recruited him was Coach Danny Barrett, Florida guy. He's got, you know, ties through Palm Beach and Broward County, and you know they got themselves a gem as far as the outside linebacker. He's rangy, tall, big fellow, former basketball player, and he should have himself a pretty good to tremendous career over there. My big offensive lineman, Sanley Gene Felix, he signed with Marshall University, the Thunder and Herd. You got Coach Jaywan Sider and Coach Mirabal that was formerly with FIU.
Correct.
He's over there now as the offensive line coach with Doc Holliday and all of those guys. And, you know, Doc Holliday does a very good job with, you know, the South Florida region, and you know, that's why that team is, you know, constantly in bowl contention and things of everything that they got going on over there. My quarterback, Greg Hankerson Jr., he signed with Florida Atlantic University. He basically, you know, at any point in time, I think there was really no 1A school that was pursuing him, FBS, of course. He had a whole bunch of different 1AA offers, and Florida Atlantic decided to, you know, swoop in like an owl, and they picked him up. And I think he's in a 2-3 deep situation, so it's a possibility, you know, if Greg goes in there, you know, gets in his books and learns that playbook, you know, who knows what happens that first game of the season against Miami.
Now, but tell me this, Wayne.
Go ahead.
You said – Tell me this now, and you know what everybody's waiting for. Let's be, and it seems like you're saving the best for us for last. You got an Alabama signee, man. Let's get me to Alabama.
Hey, man. I got to run you through all my guys, all those guys that I named
Man, get me to Nick Saban, man. I want to know how Nick Saban came in your building and got one of you guys. What went on there?
Aside from the USA Today story that's been published today, the kid's name is Eddie Jackson III, Eddie Lee Jackson III to be exact. They call him Fast Eddie Jackson. They call him Action Jackson. What happened was I got relationship with two of the coaches, actually three of the coaches in particular on that staff, Coach Stotlin, who used to coach for the University of Miami, Coach Burton Burns, he was my running back coach when I was at Tulane, and then, of course, Coach Bobby Williams. Me and him worked together at St. Thomas, you know, during his year off when he left from the Dolphins staff.
Correct.
So that's how the ties as far as, you know, Saban basically coming in the door, and you know he came in, you know, two times, and he was very adamant about, you know, wanting the services of Eddie Jackson, and you know he's a straight up and down guy. He came in and he told him exactly what he wanted him for and what he wanted him to do when he came to Alabama, and that's to come in, you know, learn nickelback and probably play, of course, the cornerback position with the opportunity as well to play kickoff return and punt return.
Okay, now, hey, now I'm going to tell you this now. You know, I'm bringing to the show. I got a guy that I'm going to bring to the show also. You know, both of us are from St. Thomas, and I got Mr. James Crawford, one of St. Thomas' safeties on the air with us also, Wayne. He's just signed with the University of Illinois. What's up, James? What's going on, man?
How you doing, Tony?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I know you're feeling good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I know you're feeling good. I thought I beat you up already. You know, fellas, you know, James is also one of my guys that I train, and we had a rough day today. I put it on him. You know, sometimes I have to go out there and show these guys what time it is. You know, they call me. You know, I dust my dust off, and I get out there sometime with them. But, James, walk me through a little bit of your recruiting process and how you came up with the idea that you want to commit and sign with the University of Illinois.
Well, at the beginning of my process, I wasn't really a big-time prospect because I didn't play much last year. Coming from St. Thomas, you don't really play early. But as I waited, schools came through the spring, and then as the season went on, I picked up offers. And then after the state game, Illinois offered me, and I went up there and took a visit and basically fell in love with the people, the campus, and I decided that's where I want to be.
Now, tell me this. Are you a guy – you're going to look to go in straight as soon as you graduate from school and to get the jump on of your college career?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Now, tell me this. Also, now check, you know, a lot of these guys, how many guys that you're hearing about that's going into Illinois early in January? Like, some guys are probably already on campus. Is anyone at your position on campus yet?
There's nobody at my position there yet, but there's a couple cornerbacks, but not safeties.
And I know you, I'm quite sure you know that, so I know you looked at that to see if these guys are getting the jump on you, man, because I know, you know, St. Thomas is an institution that's the, you know, I would say the downside of it, that you guys can't graduate early. How do you guys feel about that when you guys see it happening so much with a lot of the other institutions?
We take it as like we want to graduate early to get there early, but also staying at St. Thomas for extra time, it prepares you for college level.
You're correct. Now, and that you are correct, folks. It do prepare you for the college level. You can ask me. You can ask Coach Blair that's on the air, who went to St. Thomas also, and James is telling you himself. James, what kind of impact you want to make on, what is it, the big, what did they call it now, the because it's 12 teams in your conference. It ain't the Big Ten no more. What is it, the Big
Ten? I think they still call it the Big Ten.
Big Ten with 12 schools. I still can't understand that, but it is what it is. They can't call it the Big 12 because there is a Big 12, so they can't get those rights. But, J-Man, hey, I hope you well, man. And I know, listen, you're going to do well because your boy is going to prepare you. T. Sands, that's me. I'm going to get you ready to go. So that is an understatement. You're going to be ready when you step on the campus in Champaign, buddy, they going to know that Mr. Crawford is in the building. Man, you take it easy, and I'll see you on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, folks. He got to work. When y'all sleeping, he's working. He's like the military. He get my work done before the crack of dawn, before y'all even arrive. Jay, take it easy, man.
Hey, Mr. Crawford. Crawford, this is Coach Blair, man. Best of luck. You know, keep your head up. Hey, keep your head up. Keep God first, and everything going to be all right, man.
All right. Thank you, Coach Bliss.
Take care, boss.
Yeah.
Folks, as I told you, we're bringing you the coaches and the players here on the Tony Sands Show. That's my boy, Wayne Blair. We got Mr. Bibbs with us also. Guys, hey, in closing, Wayne, give me a quick 30 seconds. What do you tell a guy that's being recruited for your 2014 year that they need to watch for?
I got Derek Tindall, cornerback, aggressive corner. He can also play safety as well, punt returner and kick returner as well. I can say one thing about the Lauderdale Lakes community, man. You know, we just continue to breed and put out different athletes. Just because, you know, Eddie Jackson and the rest of my group and Greg Hankerson, Raynard Warren, all of those guys are, you know, moving on to greener pastures, doesn't mean that, you know, the show stops.
Correct.
I got a kid by the name of David Sr. Just came in from Cardinal Gibbons. He's exciting. I can't say enough about him. There's a couple of things that come to mind. Electrifying. I'm gonna use that word right there.
Wayne, what I want to leave you with and leave you guys with, we got 30 seconds, but producer is tapping in. Hey, man, you guys continue to do what you do over there at Board Answer. B, you keep bringing me the stories out of Texas, man. We talking basketball, so get me some basketball stories there in the great state of Texas. We're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. That was my show for the day, man. It was a pleasure to have Coach Blair, Coach Bibbs, and the athletes on giving you their side of the story. Continue to follow the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, and we're signing off.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. In the world that's so cold, why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.